Enough to Crush Your Veins by Dr. Denmark, read by Isweden. Part 3. Eric gets back at just after 6 the next Sunday morning. Jeff wouldn't normally be awake at that time on the weekend, but, on his own, getting all his work done has been kind of a challenge, and he has stuff to finish for English Lit and Econ the next day. "Oh, hi," Eric says, when he comes into the kitchen. He heads over to stand next to Jeff and puts a hand on Jeff's shoulder so he can lean in close and see what Jeff's doing. Jeff relaxes into Eric's touch instantly, not thinking, just enjoying it. But then he remembers that Eric doesn't want him, and that he needs to get over this, and he tenses up. Eric must feel it, because he pulls his hand away like he's been burned. "Sorry," he mutters. "No, I mean," Jeff says, feeling a little bad. "It's not Eric's fault. It's early. I'm really not awake yet." "I know," Eric says. "I can't decide if I should try and sleep now or nap later." "Sleep now," Jeff says. "Joey's not going to let you nap later. He gave me a 5-minute monologue on what he wants to do with you today. Mostly, he wants you to take him to the park." Eric smiles. "I was thinking we could take him skating." Jeff bites his lip. He wants to so much, but being with Eric all day would just be torturing himself. He can't start hoping for things he can't have. "You should take him," he says. "I need to work. Midterms are only a week away." Eric looks disappointed, but his expression is soft. "I'm home all week," he says, "and Mom's arriving on Friday for a week. I'm not going to make you fuck up college." If only Eric weren't basically the nicest person in the world, Jeff would probably have a lot easier time getting over him. "I know," Jeff says. "I'll take Joey to the park today," Eric says firmly. "I've told you. He wants you to teach him to skate, too." Jeff makes himself smile at Eric, just like everything's normal. "The Saturday at end of midterms," he says. "You'll have practice, but maybe after?" Eric's grin still makes Jeff's stomach turn. "It's a date," Eric says. Eric heads upstairs to nap, and Jeff goes back to working, but it only seems like a few minutes later that Eric and Joey come downstairs for breakfast. "Daddy and me are going to the park," Joey says, climbing into Jeff's lap. "He says you gotta work." "I do," Jeff says, brushing Joey's hair out of his eyes. "It needs cutting. He'll have to figure that out." "But we can tell him all about the park tonight, right?" Eric says. "Of course," Jeff says. "We're having a picnic," Joey says. "Oh," Jeff says, "you don't have to. I can go work on campus." "It's fine," Eric says. "It'll be fun." "'S an adventure," Joey says, hardly stumbling on the long word at all. "I just told him that," Eric says, digging around in the pantry for a moment before reappearing, looking triumphantly at the box of Ziploc bags he's holding. Jeff can't help grinning as he watches Eric make sandwiches and cut up apples and do all the things Jeff grew up watching his own parents do for him and his brother and sisters. Joey sits at the table eating his cereal and watching his dad, too. "Animal cookies, please," Joey asks. "Animal," Eric corrects. "Animal cookies, please," Joey asks again. "Sure, buddy," Eric says. "You're a really great dad," Jeff says. Eric's smile is almost blinding, and Jeff's stomach twists. I'm going to go shower, Jeff says. See you later. He leaves his books at the table and almost runs upstairs before Eric can reply. He takes as long as he reasonably can, showering and getting dressed, but thankfully, by the time he gets back downstairs, Eric and Joey are gone. There's a plate of sandwiches on the table, though, covered in saran wrap, and a note sitting next to it. Hey, Jeff, so you don't have to worry about lunch. Happy studying. Eric. Jeff sighs and folds the note neatly into four before heading back to his books. He tucks it into the back of his chemistry textbook. He can use it as a bookmark or something. In the end, Jeff is actually caught up with his work about 40 minutes after Eric and Joey leave. He picks up his phone and texts Libby. Busy? He gets a reply much sooner than he expects. Get out of my life, morning person. Jeff laughs and decides to go for a run. He hasn't been since training camp started, and he's kind of impressed with how he hasn't gotten amazingly unfit. He guesses running around after Joey is good exercise, though. When he gets back, there's another text from Libby waiting for him. With the fam for the weekend. Bro driving me crazy. Brunch? Jeff puts the sandwiches into the refrigerator and heads out. It turns out that Libby's family actually don't live that far away, and Libby gives Jeff directions to a diner that she says does amazing burgers. When he arrives, she's waiting for him, drinking a huge mug of coffee. My mom dragged me out of bed at 7 a.m. so I could go to church with them, she says. Don't you go to church every week? Jeff asks. Not to the 8 a.m. service, she says. I was up at 5, he says. You're a robot, she says. A weird Canadian robot. Jeff laughs and feels the knot that's been twisting up his stomach all morning relax. So, Libby says, no kid today? Jeff shrugs. My friend's been away for work all week. He got back this morning, so it's father and son trip to the park day. And you're not there? Libby asks, raising one eyebrow. Nah, Jeff says, trying to keep his tone light, but even he can hear the slight shake in his voice. I'm not going to intrude on family time. Oh, honey, Libby says, and Jeff is torn between hating that she can read him that well and being pathetically grateful that he can talk to someone about it. I wasn't lying when I said we were just friends, Jeff says. I don't know. You didn't want to be just friends, Libby says. Right, Jeff says, grabbing his napkin so he has something to do with his hands. Is he dating someone? Libby asks. No, Jeff says. Just the thought of that makes him feel sick. And that makes him feel like a bad person. Eric should have someone. I found out this week. He told his friend if I were older. But I'm not, and he doesn't know I know. Fuck, Libby says succinctly. Right, Jeff says. It's not like it's his fault, and it's not like I want to make things awkward. He's still one of my best friends. It still sucks, she says. Especially, God, I know you love that kid. Jeff nods. Okay, Libby says, pushing back her chair. Fuck this. We're going back to my parents' place and having my mom make us waffles. And then we're going to spike our orange juice for medicinal reasons. Jeff just nods and follows Libby as she pays for her coffee and then follows her home. Libby's family is thrilled to meet him. They accept without a question Libby's explanation that Jeff's had his heart broken and needs feeding. Jeff remembers to text Eric when he tastes the screwdriver Libby hands him. He's not going to be able to drive safely for at least a few hours. At my friend's working on econ project. Be back this evening. He gets a smiley face back from Eric, and a, don't work too hard. It would be so much easier if he were an asshole, Jeff says, finishing up his screwdriver far quicker than he probably should. Fucking men, Libby says. Right, Jeff says. They end up slumped on the couch, watching 300. This is my favorite movie, Jeff says. His head is spinning a little. He hasn't had vodka in kind of a long time. You already said that, Libby says. I want to lick his abs, Jeff says. Gerard Butler's digitally enhanced body should be making him feel better, but it's not. You already said that too, Libby says. You're so drunk. Yeah, Jeff says, and tries to concentrate on the movie. Jeff didn't realize he'd fallen asleep, but he wakes up to Libby shaking him lightly. My mom says you're staying for dinner, she says, and you can stay the night if you're not okay to drive. Jeff blinks a few times and sits up. I'm fine, he says. So, dinner? Libby asks. He checks his phone, and it's already after 7. There are no missed calls or texts, though, so he figures Eric doesn't need him. That sounds great, he says. Dinner is delicious, and Libby's mom offers him leftovers. When he says no, Libby grins at him. Good, she says. That chicken is mine. He ends up giving her a ride back to campus, because he's driving already. But that means that by the time he gets home, Joey's already in bed, and Eric's fast asleep on the couch. Jeff thinks about maybe waking Eric up, getting him to actually go to bed. The Canes probably won't be happy about their captain fucking up his back like that. He doesn't, though. He doesn't really want to speak to Eric, even though it's selfish. Jeff figures that back in her dorm, Libby is pissed at him and doesn't know why. The next morning is a normal Monday. Jeff gets up and gets Joey up, and he's getting Joey's breakfast when Eric wanders into the room, still half asleep and only wearing boxers. Jeff watches him out of the corner of his eye until he remembers that he's not supposed to be doing that anymore, and goes back to helping Joey spread grape jelly on his English muffin. You got back late last night, Eric says, pouring himself a cup of coffee and then topping up Jeff's mug. Did you at least get your econ project done? It takes Jeff a moment to remember that's the excuse he gave Eric. Yeah, he says. Libby's parents live near here, and she was home for the weekend. It was late by the time we were done, so they asked me to stay for dinner. Jeff takes a sip of his coffee. Sorry, I should have called. No, Eric says. I was just, I don't know, worried, I guess. It was dumb. I'll call next time, Jeff says, feeling like an asshole. You're allowed to have your own life, Eric says, sounding a little annoyed. I should have called, Jeff says again, not really wanting his breakfast anymore. Libby sticks by him most of the day, finding seats in the library where they get started on studying for their midterm and working on their real econ project when they're not in class. He buys her lunch in return, and by the time he's ready to go home, he has at least a better idea of what work he needs to get done in the next week, even if he hasn't really started it. When he picks up Joey, he's covered in paint again, but he proudly presents Jeff with his painting. That's me, Joey says, pointing to each blob-like figure in turn. And that's Mommy and Daddy, and that's you. That's awesome, buddy, Jeff says. It's for you, Joey says. Thank you, Jeff says, and he really means it. When they get home, Eric's obviously been bored all afternoon because Jeff finds that Eric's cooked dinner and set the table. Jeff really wishes he had a Twitter and was a creepier person because Eric in an apron fussing over a casserole is one of the most hilarious things he's ever seen. Oh, hi, Eric says, turning around and blushing bright red. I didn't think you'd be home yet. Jeff actually does pull out his phone then, because he can at least show Linda when she arrives at the end of the week. Eric looks absolutely mortified. Daddy, I painted Jeff a picture, Joey says, oblivious. Look! He thrusts out his arms and shows Eric the painting. We painted our families. Jeff's stomach drops, but Eric looks thrilled. It's awesome, Eric says. You want to help me put it on the refrigerator? Yes, Joey says. Eric grabs a pen from the counter and writes across the bottom, My Family by Joey Stahl. Then he picks Joey up and helps him attach it to the front of the refrigerator with a magnet in the shape of the Canes logo. Jeff excuses himself to take his things up to his room. Joey's only 3, and Jeff is new and exciting, and there all the time. That's all. Eric probably just didn't realize who the people were supposed to be. Dinner smells amazing when Jeff finally heads back downstairs. He helps Joey up to the table and gets him a glass of juice. You want beer, or I bought a bottle of wine? Eric asks him. Sure, Jeff says, I guess. Eric grabs wine glasses that Jeff didn't even realize existed and pulls a bottle of white wine from the refrigerator. The guy in the wine store said it was good with chicken, he says. Eric pours 2 glasses and hands one to Jeff, and then watches expectantly. Jeff takes a sip. It's good, he says, as though he has any idea about wine. He's only ever drunk Arbor Mist before. Eric looks pleased at his pronouncement. The casserole is good. It's my mom's recipe, Eric says when Jeff compliments him. She always used to cook it for my dad on his birthday. After they've eaten, Jeff tries to help Eric clear up, but Eric refuses his help. Go hang out, he says. You just had Joey alone for over a week. It's my turn. He hands Jeff another glass of wine. You look tired, and I mean what I said. I'm not going to make you... Eric looks around to see if Joey's within earshot. Fuck up college, especially when you have midterms coming up. Jeff rolls his eyes. I'm here to look after Joey when you can't, he says. You don't have to bribe me to do it. Jeff, Eric says, weirdly gently, if I just wanted a nanny, I would have hired a fucking nanny. Jeff shrugs and retreats to the den to watch TV. He doesn't realize how tired he was until it's over an hour later and Eric's gently shaking him awake. Hey, Eric says, if you don't have homework, I was going to watch the Leafs game. You want to? Jeff rubs his eyes and sits up. Sure, he says. Eric takes a seat on the couch next to him, spreading himself out so much that he's almost touching Jeff. Jeff tries to take up as little space as possible and let Eric relax. He's probably still exhausted from the road trip. The game is a lot closer than it should be, given that it's the Leafs and the Flyers, and Jeff finds himself getting engrossed quickly. Eric is a great person to watch hockey with, unsurprisingly. He gets really into it, not supporting anyone, but just sharply observing the way the game is being played, and getting hilariously excited when either team pulls off a well-executed play. In the commercial breaks, Eric ends up telling Jeff stupid stories about guys he knows who used to play for the Canes or who played for Team Canada. It's fun, and between them, they finish the bottle of wine. By the time the game's over, and the Leafs have lost despite their best efforts, Jeff is kind of buzzed, and by his glazed look, so is Eric. "God," Eric says, "this is why I don't drink wine." Jeff can't stop himself from giggling, and Eric grins back at him. "Night," Jeff says, pushing himself up off the couch. "Night," Eric says, standing up and grabbing the wine bottle and glasses to take back into the kitchen. "I had a good time tonight." "Me too," Jeff says. Jeff takes a while to get to sleep, even though he's tired. He has to get over the whole wanting more thing. Having nights like that, being Eric's friend, is far too important to risk losing. Eric is as good as his word, and as much as he can, he takes charge of Joey for the week. At first, Jeff sort of bristles at it, not much liking the implication that he's not capable enough of organizing his own time. Like he hasn't been juggling school and Joey for 2 months. But even the next day, Jeff has a truly horrific chem lab, and then has to run halfway across campus to find his stats TA to ask a question on something he thought he understood, until he took the practice midterm and bombed it. When he gets home, Jeff is pathetically grateful that even though Eric has a game that night, he's somehow found time to leave him and Joey helpings of the chicken and pasta he must have eaten as his pre-game meal in the refrigerator with a post-it note saying, "Dinner," on it. Joey is obviously tired, but he eats the pasta and at least a couple bites of chicken. After dinner, he plays quietly with some blocks on the floor of the den while Jeff sits on the couch and goes through his statistic problem set again, realizing he did the problems totally wrong the first time. He turns the TV on in the background with the sound turned low. The puck drops at 7, and Jeff will be getting Joey to bed then, but he's planning to watch it later, if only so Libby doesn't maim him tomorrow. "That's Daddy," Joey says, pointing at the screen. Jeff looks up and grins reflexively when he sees Eric being interviewed. "Yep," he says, "that's your daddy." Joey falls asleep almost before Jeff has finished reading the first page of his story, so Jeff makes it back downstairs only a few minutes into the first period. It's already obvious that the Sens are a mess, although the new kid, the Iranian one, is really goddamn good. He tries not to pay too much attention to the game, and to work instead, but he keeps getting distracted. It's not at all like it was the night before, watching the game with Eric, but it's hockey, and he's invested, and he ends up swearing at the screen when Eric gets 2 minutes for hooking, and the Sens score on the power play to tie the game. Eric is obviously pissed, though. Jeff can see it all over his face when the camera pans to him on the bench. And from then, it's not even close. Eric gets 2 goals and an assist, and the rest of the team seem to catch Eric's energy. When it ends 4-1 to the Canes, Jeff texts Libby, who replies almost instantly. Eric fucking Stahl is super hot when he's mad. Jeff bursts out laughing and texts Eric, "Libby thinks you're hot when you're mad." He doesn't get an answer, but he doesn't expect to. Eric gets home just after 11 and drops himself down on the couch next to Jeff, who's still struggling through his stats questions. "I'm hot when I'm mad, huh?" Eric says, grinning maniacally. Eric's freshly showered, his hair still damp, and he's leaning in really close to Jeff. Jeff feels his brain short out, and for a moment he almost forgets that Eric doesn't want him, that this is Eric on an adrenaline rush, not meaning anything by it. "My friend thinks you are," Jeff says. "Your friend has excellent taste," Eric says. Jeff makes himself stand up. "She probably meant Jordan," he says. "The Pens were playing tonight too, right?" Eric flips Jeff the bird, and Jeff makes himself laugh as he heads to the kitchen to grab a glass of water. He almost jumps out of his skin when he turns around a moment later to find Eric right behind him. "Water?" Jeff asks, pulling a second glass out of the cabinet. Eric just looks at Jeff for a minute, too close for this to really be comfortable. "Sure," he says. Jeff fills the glasses and hands one to Eric. "Good night," he says. "Night," Eric says. And again, Jeff somehow thinks he said the wrong thing, even though he hardly said anything at all. Jeff doesn't sleep well. He hasn't slept well for days. When he goes in to get Joey up the next morning, 15 minutes later than usual, Joey isn't in bed. Jeff panics for a minute, and then hears someone moving around the kitchen, and smells coffee. "Hey," Eric says, when Jeff shuffles into the kitchen. "Coffee?" Before Jeff has a chance to answer, Eric's handing a mug to him with just the right amount of milk, not cream, in it. "Thanks," he says. "You look like you need it," Eric says. Well, not that you look bad or anything," he says a moment later. "Just, you know, tired." Jeff, who's barely following what Eric's saying, just shrugs. He eats his cereal mechanically, watching Eric help Joey. Once he's a little more awake, he realizes that Eric's looking tired too, and that Eric is anything but a morning person, which is why Jeff usually handles breakfast in the first place. "Is there any special reason you're up this early?" Jeff asks, wondering if he's forgotten something. The Canes don't play again until Friday. Jeff's sure of that. Eric shrugs a little. "I was awake anyway," he says. "This is good coffee," Jeff says. It would be weird to say thank you. The next couple of days are just the same. Jeff sleeps even less. The nagging ache of knowing that Eric doesn't want him mixes with the far more sharp worry about his midterms. He doesn't think he's going to flunk or anything, but especially his stats midterm is going to be tough, and he has a couple of papers due as well. It's starting to be a vicious circle, though. The more he worries, the less he sleeps, the harder it is to concentrate, the worse he does on the practice tests, the more he worries. Eric is being amazing, though, which Jeff isn't sure is a good thing or a terrible thing. Jeff gets up in the morning to find a cup of coffee waiting for him and comes home to find dinner already made and ready to reheat. Jeff didn't realize that Eric could cook, but apparently he's good at it. He probably just doesn't like cooking for only himself. That has to be a little depressing after a while. Joey helps too, as much as a 3-year-old can. On Thursday evening, Jeff is sitting at the kitchen table, trying to finish his econ problem set, when Joey climbs into Jeff's lap, not asking for anything, just wanting to be held. It's just before Joey's bedtime, and he's already sleepy. He snuggles into Jeff's chest and sits there. It helps that econ is Jeff's favorite class, and he feels like he knows what he's doing, but this is the most relaxed he's felt in weeks. Eric comes into the kitchen a few minutes later, obviously looking for Joey. When he turns around and sees Jeff and Joey, he smiles. "You want me to take him?" Eric asks. Jeff tucks an arm around Joey, holding him securely. "He's fine," Jeff says. A half hour later, Joey is asleep in Jeff's lap, and Eric follows Jeff as he carries Joey up the stairs and puts him to bed, without Joey ever waking up. Eric tucks Joey in tight and drops a kiss on his forehead before heading out of the room. Jeff is standing in the doorway, just looking, about to make himself go downstairs and finish his work. As Eric walks past him, he reaches out to squeeze Jeff's shoulder. "Don't stay up too late," Eric says. On Friday morning, Joey manages to cover himself in peanut butter while nobody is looking, and Jeff has to dump him in the tub and wash his hair to get rid of it. He's late to his econ study group meeting, and he doesn't realize he has a handprint made of peanut butter on his shirt until it's way too late to do anything about it. "Interesting morning," Libby asks. Jeff looks down at his shirt and rolls his eyes. "Oh yeah," he says. "It looks like it," she says. "How's your small human?" The rest of the group are looking at Jeff with undisguised interest, but there's no point in lying now or pretending he was attacked by a small peanut butter wielding monster. "Less of a mess than me," he says eventually. "His dad had to be at," Jeff reminds himself, not to say the rink. "He had to be at work for a meeting early, and Joey got covered in peanut butter, so..." "You have a kid?" Danny asks. "Stepkid?" "His roommate has a son," Libby says, sounding a little smug about being the only one who knows. "How old?" Tyler asks. Jeff faces all the questions stoically, and only rolls his eyes a little, until eventually they get tired and start panicking about the midterm again. When he gets home that afternoon, an hour earlier than usual, Linda is there in the kitchen, washing the breakfast dishes, which Jeff hadn't had time to put in the dishwasher. "Grandma!" Joey yells at an ear-piercing volume and runs to hug Linda's legs. "Hi, sweetie," she says, looking down at him. "Did you have a good day at school?" Jeff leaves Joey telling Linda all about his day and heads upstairs to finally change his shirt. He's just stripped it off and dumped it in the laundry basket when there's a knock at his door. "Hang on," he calls out, but the door's already opening. "Hey, sorry," Eric says, pushing the door open. "I just wanted to..." He stops dead when he looks up and sees Jeff. Jeff blushes. He's never thought twice about changing in front of people when he was skating, but Eric seeing him shirtless like this is so very different, even if it's not the first time it's happened. "Sorry," Eric says quickly. "No," Jeff says, "it's fine." He forces himself to look at Eric. "What did you need?" "Oh," Eric says, "I..." He's still staring at Jeff, and Jeff doesn't know what to do with that. Can you handle Joey's Skype call with Sarah again this week? I have media stuff on Wednesday evening. Sure, Jeff says. I mean, my mom could, if you're busy, Eric says, still staring. But Sarah likes you, and, well, she and my mom were never. Jeff grins a little hesitatingly, still not sure what's actually going on here. It's fine, he says. Great, Eric says. And, oh, if you want it, next Friday after the game, there's a team dinner thing with friends and whatever. But I thought if you didn't have plans, you'd maybe want to come. Oh, I... Jeff has never wanted to go to a dinner more and less at the same time. We're probably going out to a bar after, but if you're with us, you won't get carded or anything, Eric adds quickly. I just thought, well, my mom is here to babysit. Sure, Jeff says, not knowing what other answer Eric will accept. Great, Eric says, and grins widely. He seems to suddenly realize that Jeff's still shirtless, and he needs to be at the rink. I'll see you Sunday, Jeff says. Yeah, Eric says. Sunday. Eric almost runs out of the room, and Jeff is left to finally put a clean shirt on. Midterms suck. There's no other way to describe it. Eric has a homestand for the week, but it seems like the local press has decided to use it to do as many interviews as possible, and after the team gets absolutely killed by the Lightning, Eric seems to spend all his time at the gym or the rink, or with the team, going over the film of the Caps and the Stars for their next two games. Linda is Jeff's favorite person by the middle of the week. He hasn't felt like a little kid for a long time. He was competing internationally at 14, but she takes care of all of them. Eric and Jeff as much as Joey. On Thursday night, when he's panicking about his last and hardest midterm, the one for his stats class, she literally pries the textbook out of his hand and sends him up to bed. By Friday morning, Jeff is a little embarrassed that that happened. But Linda just laughs when he apologizes and hands him a travel mug of coffee for the drive to campus. Jeff is not the last person to finish the midterm, but he's not close to being the first either. He checks his work over one last time and then hands it to the TA on the way out of the door, and then he's done. It's a massive anticlimax. Libby and Matt are waiting for him at the library. They're both done, too, and now there's nothing left to do except sit in the bright sunshine for the rest of the afternoon. Doing anything this weekend? Libby asks. No, Jeff says. I mean, my roommate's mom is in town, so I don't know. My parents are out of town, Libby says. Want to come to the Stars game? Sure, Jeff says, meaning it for once. Matt? Libby asks. Do I need to know anything about hockey? He asks. There's two teams, and they try and put the puck in the opposing team's net, Jeff says. Other than that, watching is the best way to learn. Matt laughs. That much I know, he says. I watched the Olympics a little. Jeff bites his lip. Oh, right, he says. Fucking Crosby, Libby says, with surprising venom. That startles a laugh out of Jeff. He's not so bad, Jeff says. They talked about hockey at the Molson house after the closing ceremony, before Jeff ended up hanging out with Eric for the rest of the night. My mom was obsessed with the figure skating, Matt says. It was weird. Jeff flops down to lie on his back and covers his eyes with his hands. This would be the perfect time to come clean, about the skating at least, but he stays quiet. So, Libby says eventually, breaking the lull in the conversation, Sunday. We can tailgate before the game. My brother can buy beer. Sounds good, Matt says. Jeff just lies there, not thinking, until it's time to go and get Joey from daycare. The game starts at 7, and Jeff is really tempted to blow the whole thing off and stay home instead. He doesn't, though, because in between the time he gets in the SUV to drive home from Duke and walks in the front door, Eric texts him 7 times, and one of those is to ask him to pick up Cody Ward on the way to the game. No problem, he texts back, and is a little grateful that there will be at least one familiar face. Jeff agonizes over what to wear a lot more than he should, given that this is really just a night out with the guys. Normally, he'd throw on whichever shirt he pulled out of the closet first, and a pair of clean jeans. He's not sure how fancy the place they're going after will be, though, and he knows he needs to make sure he looks at least a little older than he really is, if that's possible. He considers calling Libby, but she'd ask questions, or seeing if Linda has any ideas. But she's Eric's mom, and that's a little weird. In the end, he calls Jilly. What's up? Jilly says. How's the glamorous world of babysitting? Well, I have free tickets to the Canes-Caps game tonight, and I'm going out for dinner with the team afterwards, Jeff says. Don't drink anything Obi hands you, Jilly says. I won't, Jeff promises, mostly because he's not going to be there. That's what you think, Jilly says. Jeff spends a moment irrationally worrying that Jilly is right, and for some reason Ovi is going to crash the Canes' team night out. God, he says, I hate you. No, you don't, Jilly says. Jeff can hear noise in the background, and he realizes that she's probably in the dining hall or hanging out with her team. Anyway, not that it's not great to hear from you, but did you want something, or did you just call to gloat? No, Jeff says, remembering what he's supposed to be asking. Fashion advice? Jilly laughs kind of a lot, and Jeff almost regrets asking her. You're hopeless, she says. And whatever, you're going out with hockey players. Their idea of high fashion is a clean pair of sweats and some Crocs. You're a hockey player, too, Jeff says. My Crocs are awesome, Jilly says. My roommate bedazzled them. No, really, I hate you, Jeff says. I don't want to embarrass Eric or anything. Jilly snorts. Yeah, she says, sounding utterly derisive. Look, wear the dark jeans I made you buy, and that gray shirt with the silver pinstripes you wore for Dad's retirement. I'm going to the game first, though, he says. I don't want to look like an asshole. Whatever, Jilly says. You'll probably be in a swank box full of assholes, and you can throw a jersey on over it for the game and leave it in the car after. Are you sure? Jeff asks. Well, you could go with one of those tight V-neck t-shirts that show off your arms, but that might be a little much for Raleigh, Jilly says. Given that Jeff wore one of those the times he went out to gay bars over the summer, he figures Jilly is right. Thanks, he says. No problem, Jilly says. Anyway, I've got to go. Frat party. Jilly hangs up before Jeff can say goodbye, and he tries not to think about his little sister and the things he's heard about frat parties. Jeff showers and changes, and texts Jilly another thank you, because she was totally right about the shirt and jeans. He pulls his, Eric's, the Canes jersey out of his closet, where it's been hanging since the last game, and checks himself out in the mirror. He still looks like a 12-year-old, but he trusts that Eric knows what he's talking about with the not getting ID'd thing. Have fun, Linda calls to him as Jeff heads out the door. Jeff is a couple of minutes early to pick up Cody, but he waits in the car. Being in Cam Ward's house was weird enough with Eric there, but being there alone would be weirder. At 6 exactly, he heads up and rings the bell, and Cody answers. Hey, she says, one second. She's wearing nice jeans and heels with a Canes jersey over what is probably a nice shirt, and Jeff is pathetically grateful that he apparently is wearing the right outfit. Jeff waits on the step while Cody says goodbye to the babysitter and kisses her kid. You could have come in, Cody says, when she's heading back to the SUV with Jeff. Oh, no, it was fine. Jeff stutters a little. Whatever you say, Cody says. Jeff tries to relax. He's talked to Cody before, so this shouldn't be hard, but he can't help feeling a little shy around her. They end up talking about hockey, though, which he knows they have in common, and it turns out she likes figure skating too, or at least enough to have a conversation about it. The really weird part is where they end up talking about Cody's kid and Joey. He tells her about the peanut butter incident, and she tells him about her kid basically trying to swim in a bucket of barbecue sauce at the party. It's not the easiest, she says, especially when Cam's on one of the long road trips. Yeah, Jeff agrees, because 9 days was pretty bad. The life of a hockey wife, Cody says, turning to grin at Jeff as they pull into the player parking lot at the RBC Center. It has its perks, though, like free tickets and hot husbands. She pauses for a second and narrows her eyes. Or boyfriends. Jeff isn't sure she's insinuating what he thinks she is. She, of all people, has to know what Eric told Cam, but Jeff blushes bright red anyway. Luckily for Jeff's sanity, she drops the subject and hops out of the SUV. The car will be fine here overnight, she says. I thought I was the designated driver, Jeff says. Cody laughs. No, kid, we'll get cabs, she says. Cam and Eric have a system for this. Just let them deal with it. Cody has their tickets, and she leads Jeff up to a box. He recognizes some of the wives or girlfriends who were there for opening night. There are a few new faces, though, and Cody introduces everyone to Jeff. This is Eric's friend, Jeff, she tells one person after another. She says friend in the same way Libby does, though. And Jeff considers running away the second he can make a break for it. It's halfway into the second period when Jeff realizes that even though it's kind of mortifying that everyone seems to think he and Eric are an item, especially because Eric doesn't want that, nobody seems to care. Cam had said that Eric dated a guy last year, though. He doesn't know how to make any of this fit together in his head, so he tries to watch the game instead. It's not pretty at all. The Caps are leading 4-2, and Jeff can see from up here how frustrated Eric is, so it doesn't help all that much. The Canes manage to tie it up by the end of the third, but the Caps win in overtime. It's something, at least, especially against a division rival. But that isn't a lot of comfort now. When everyone from the box finally heads down to meet the guys, Jeff can tell nobody is quite in the party mood. "Sorry," Jeff tells Eric when he finally manages to make it over to him. "That sucked." Eric manages a tired smile. "We sucked, you mean," he says. "Or, well, we did in the second period." That's kind of true. So Jeff just tries to smile supportively. "Let's get drunk," Eric says. Jeff isn't sure if that's a good or bad idea, but he's not going to say no. Dinner is good. They take over the back room of a restaurant, but the food is definitely secondary to the amount of beer that everyone's knocking back. It's a pretty mixed group. A lot of the guys are with their wives or girlfriends. One of the Finns has buddies from home staying with him for the week, and one of the Sutters brought his mom. Eric sticks close to Jeff, getting him drinks and making terrible joke after terrible joke, until Jeff can't help but laugh because Eric is trying so hard, and because he's pretty tipsy already. A couple of hours later, when everyone's relaxed and a little bit drunk, even Mrs. Sutter, they move on to a bar a couple of streets away. It's busy, because it's a Friday night, but the doorman is obviously expecting them and just ushers the whole group in, not bothering to ask anyone for IDs. Eric grabs a booth in the back, and Jeff ends up crammed up next to Eric, while Cam and Cody, and Sutter and his mom, and LaRose and his girlfriend pile in too. Eric talks to Cam and Cody, and Jeff spends the evening alternating between listening to their conversation and talking to the other people in the booth, who all turn out to be really nice. LaRose's girlfriend, Andy, is getting her MBA at Duke, so Jeff ends up talking to her a little, hearing about what the business school is like. She laughs at Jeff's enthusiasm for his econ class, and tells him about her own undergrad days. Jeff doesn't really notice at first, or at least he puts it down to how close everyone is pressed together, but at some point Eric's hand ends up on Jeff's thigh. He realizes it's intentional when Eric starts rubbing small circles with his thumb, and Jeff almost jumps out of his skin. Everyone turns to look at him, even Eric, whose hand is still right there. But Jeff just shrugs and tries to ignore Eric. He thinks about making everyone move so he can get out, but he doesn't. He tries to turn as much as he can towards Andy, and away from Eric, and Eric seems to get the message, because he pulls his hand away, stretches up, and then rests an arm along the back of the booth. Eric is drunk. He's so drunk. He has to be. Sutter and his mom are the first to leave, and then LaRose and Andy go home. There's enough space in the booth that they can spread out a little then, but Eric still presses close to Jeff's side. Jeff is way past tipsy now, and he's almost forgotten why he shouldn't just enjoy whatever Eric thinks he's doing. "I swear," Eric says, "Jordy had his head stuck in the fence for at least 3 hours. Dad just left him there. He told him that it was his own fault, and if he got himself stuck, he could get himself unstuck." The image of Jordan Stahl, aged 9, with his head stuck in a fence, is too much for Jeff, and he almost chokes on his beer. The thing is, in his head, it's Jordan Stahl the way he looks now, ridiculously fluffy hair and all. Eric pounds Jeff on the back, and grins hopelessly at Jeff, his eyes glazed. "Mark got him out eventually," he says. "Okay," Cody says. "Stall childhood stories mean it's time to go home. Next come the Olympics stories." "Team Canada Bros!" Eric calls, a lot louder than he should have, and holds his fist out to Jeff to bump. Jeff remembers Eric being like this at the party after the closing ceremonies in Vancouver, his gold medal still around his neck. He fist bumps Eric, and they grin at each other for what feels like a really long time. "Cabs," Cody says firmly, getting out of the booth and glaring at everyone until they follow her. She's not exactly sober, but Jeff thinks she has magic powers, because she's bossing everyone around and walking in ridiculously high heels. Jeff lets Eric give the cab driver their address and leans back into the cool leather seat. His head is spinning a little, and he knows he's going to feel gross in the morning, but he doesn't care. Eric presses up against his side again and drops his arm across the back of the seat. But as the cab turns a corner, it slips down, so it's around Jeff's shoulder. Jeff finally lets himself lean into Eric's shoulder. Nobody has to know, and he probably won't ever get to have this again. Eric's arm tightens, and he turns his head into Jeff's hair. "God," Eric says, slurring a little, "you've been driving me crazy all night." Jeff shudders against Eric. This is a mistake, and Eric is going to regret this in the morning. But they're drunk and horny, and this doesn't have to be more than it is. Eric leans down, and his breath is hot against Jeff's neck. They're in a cab, and they shouldn't be doing this. "Wait," Jeff says. "We need... just wait." It feels like forever, and like only a moment later, that they're back at the house, and Eric's paying the cab driver. Jeff's hands are shaking as he unlocks the front door, and a moment later, Eric is crowding up behind him and pressing him into the door. For a moment, Jeff can feel Eric's erection against his back, and then he gets the door open, and they stumble into the hall. "We shouldn't be doing this," Jeff says, as Eric shuts the door behind them, and then grabs Jeff's hand and leads them into the living room. "I don't care," Eric says. He drops down onto the couch and pulls Jeff down so Jeff is straddling his lap. Jeff doesn't care either. He leans down, and then he and Eric are finally kissing. Jeff loses track of time. Eric's hands are tangled in his hair, and all that matters is kissing, and kissing, and kissing. Somehow he manages to get his hands up under Eric's shirt, and Eric's stomach is so much warm, hard skin, with the muscles heaving under Jeff's palms, and Eric pants into Jeff's neck. "Please, please," Eric whispers. "Just please." A light flicks on in the hall, and Jeff starts backwards so fast that he almost falls off Eric's lap. "Honey, is that..." Linda stops as she walks into the living room and sees them. Jeff is sober enough now to know that there's no other possible explanation they could give. He springs up to stand next to the couch, grateful that his shirt is untucked because he's hard and this is the most mortifying moment of his life. Night, Jeff says, almost running up the stairs. He hopes to God Eric doesn't remember any of this in the morning. He tries to go to sleep, but every time he closes his eyes, everything's spinning, and he can feel Eric's lips on his. Eventually, he gives up and shoves his hands down into his pajama pants and jerks off. It only takes him a minute, and then he falls fast asleep.